Watching via live stream, and if you'll stand with me, we'll sing page 512, Saved by Grace, and we're going to sing verse 1, 2, and 4 tonight. Verse 1, 2, and 4.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of saved by grace. Someday my earthly house shall fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see someday, till then, I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright, and then my Savior opens the gates, my soul by him will take its flight, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face. Tell the story saved by grace.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. We welcome everybody watching on live streaming. We had 107 in the service this morning, and we had 157 views on Facebook today. I don't know how many we had on YouTube. It's probably 15 or 20 or more on YouTube also. And the deposit was $7,500. That's pretty close to budget. And we appreciate the faithfulness of God's people. It was good to see each of you this morning. We're glad to have you back tonight. We want to remember to pray for one another. We've got a long list of folks with physical illness and cancer and things like that. Brother Chris Holland was back today and gave us a little update on Miss Debbie. We want to remember her. And I didn't get to speak to them, but I saw Faye and Darla were here today. And Darla brought some apples and some things like that, oranges, they're out there. Get you a few of them, take them home with you. And Miss Linda Brooks is here. Good to see you. I guess you got the word on Libby.
Actually, she's staying with her neighbor.
Okay.
Okay,
her neighbor's taking care of her. All right. And it's good to see all of you. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to bless the service tonight. And then Jacob will lead us in another song. And Brother Joe Scruggs is going to help us with the summer program with the kids and Wednesday night. And we'll start that next week on Wednesday night on the 10th. And if any of you are set up to help with that, I know Becca helped last year, I think some, and some of our Master Club, Joy may help with it. Joe's willing to meet down at the classroom tonight right after service for a few minutes about doing the Wednesday night. He'll be on call some with his job, so he may need somebody to cover on a Wednesday night for him with the kids. And this provides an opportunity. We still don't have all of the kids coming back yet. Some of the classes had, Miss Gigi had one in her junior church class this morning, and Joy had five, and she has 12 or so a lot of times. So as time goes on, I assume more will come. And we haven't started with the blessings because we haven't had any kids here on Sunday night to start that. But at some point in time, we might do that again. So be prayerful and ask the Lord to encourage people. But we're not going to rush folks. When people are ready, they'll come. And we know some folks that have health issues and that sort of thing are being extra cautious. And I don't blame them at all for that. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless the service and give him our thanks and give him our praise. Jason Wheels, would you lead us in prayer? Ask the Lord to bless the service tonight.
Dear God, we thank you for this day, dear Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come and worship, dear God, and song and truth, dear Lord. And, dear God, I remember D-Day, Lord, as it just passed, dear God. I remember the troops that went and fought for us, God, and defended this country, Lord. Lord, pray for our military, God. We thank you for the freedoms that they give us, Lord. We thank you for the freedoms we have in this country to be able to come and assemble and worship, dear Lord. Dear God, we pray for our country, God, as we need a time of healing, dear Lord, but we need you. God, we pray that eyes will be turned to you, Lord, through this corona and through these riots, dear God. Lord, I pray that as Christians, we'll stand up for you, and we'll find one person, God, that we can tell about you, Lord, one person that we can impact their life, dear Lord, with the truth that we can have a home in heaven, dear God, and it's all through your Son, Jesus Christ, dear Lord. Lord, once again, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Pastor and Jacob and the work that they're doing, dear God. Lord, we pray for Debbie Holly, God, and this cancer she has, dear Lord. I pray you just be with her and Chris, dear God. Lord, please be with the services. Bless the singing, bless the service, bless just these people that are here, dear God. We love you. We thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you would, please stand again and flip your page over, and we'll sing He the Pearly Gates Will Open, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4. Yeah, stand again.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in, for he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love so thine and great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood is power to save. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. Lord, he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus I shall enter heaven's gate.
This time my family will come and we'll sing a special song for you. And JJ, you sing one?
Yes.
And our honorary Haney, JJ Mask, will come sing as well.
Justified, O blessed Lord, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within.
Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation brought, thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand, complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed God, and sanctified, salvation brought, thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be. Thy blood hath pardoned but for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Have your Bibles, look with me at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, beginning with verse number 11. Current circumstance makes us very aware of God's timetable. We know that there's coming an end. We know that a lot of the things we see happening are things characteristic of end times. In Luke 19 and verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, this is the theme of our message tonight, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Stay busy. Do the work until I come to take you home. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, I ask that you'll help me to be a help and a blessing to your people. Speak to our hearts through the word. Bless those that are watching on the live streaming. Encourage them. And when things get settled down here, we hope that many of them will come and visit with us. And we pray that you'll bless them. And bless here in the service, we ask, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus warns in Matthew 24 that there would be deceptions and religious deceivers in the last days. Matthew 24 speaks of the tribulation period and the last days, and so he speaks about the deceivers. Paul also warned about deceivers, and so did Peter, about wolves in sheep's clothing. He warned about disputes among nations. Nations will rise up against nations. And we've been hearing Russia and China with their swords rattling, and the United States. And we know these are nations that are characteristic of the end times. Russia and China certainly are. Of devastation upon the earth. Pestilence and famine and earthquakes in divers places, and great weather influence. And every time we see a change, people start getting a little concerned about the end times. There'll be death and persecution. And those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we see people taking an attitude more and more against Bible-believing Christianity, because that we teach the Bible and try to live the Bible, and they really do not want that, because it convicts them of their lifestyles and their choices. Now, over in 2 Timothy, if you want to turn there with me in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning having no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In verse 13 and 14, he said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we're to continue in the things that we've learned. We're to occupy until he comes. We're to be busy about the master's business. The king's business requires haste, the scripture says. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8 of 1 John chapter 2. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Our journey in the Christian life has come to a place that we've never passed before. We're experiencing things we've never experienced before. If you look back in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, Israel came to a place they'd never been before, that they'd never passed. Joshua 3 and verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Isn't that something we want for the Lord to do wonders among us? We want to see our people saved. We want to see marriage is put back together. We want to see homes strengthened and our young people stay in church and come to know the Lord as their Savior and be found loving their brethren. This is hardship and discouragement that we face sometimes coming to a place we've never been before and we're not quite sure how to proceed. And so he told them not to gang up right behind the ark, because they wouldn't know the steps to take. They need to lead it, get it in front of them so they could see and follow, because they were going on a trail they'd never been on before. And we need to follow the Lord. We face circumstance we've never faced before. And we need God's guidance and God's wisdom, and we search for it through the Word of God. Spiritual leaders that had the Ark of the Covenant, they were to follow them. Verse 5, he said, sanctify yourselves, because God will work wonders among you. God's in the wonder-working business. Isaiah said one of the names that Jesus would be called by is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, first of all, tonight we know the end of the story. The church is protected by God and preserved by God, and we've got a place in heaven, and we're going to be with the Lord. And we know the end of the story and how Christ will come and take us to heaven one day in the future. Now, we don't know when that day is going to be. We look at circumstance and we have ideas. Jesus said to the Jewish people, he rebuked them because he said, you can look at the sky and tell the weather what's coming, but you can't look at the times and discern about the Lord's work. And it's important that we see things happening and know the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Christ will come in the clouds and call us up to heaven. He's going to change our bodies and give us a new body like his body. And he's going to take us to the place that he has prepared for us. And the Bible says, when that day occurs, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful day, my friends. But until that day comes, we're on a journey with God. We're to follow him. We're to look for his leading. We're to sanctify ourselves so that God can work wonders among us. We are now in this present evil world that Galatians 1:4 describes that Christ died to deliver us from, and that day is coming for our deliverance. Our world is very deceived. Darwin and Dewey were two well-known names that had a lot of influence on the educational system and corrupted it with the teaching of evolution and the teaching of secular materialism. And men have taken God off the throne and put themselves there, think they can rule things and be in control of things without giving God the glory, without giving God the credit. Do you remember how one of the Herods was a great orator and speaker, and he put on this shiny outfit and went out in the sun, and he was shining so brightly that people couldn't hardly look at him, and they described him as being a god and not a man when he gave his speech. And because he gave not God the glory, God smote him, and he died right there on the spot and was eaten of worms. I'd like to give God a list right now of several that I think I'd like to see that happen to, but I'm not the one that's in charge. I'm not the one that knows all and that God is, and I'll leave that up to him. But men are worshiping men instead of worshiping God. There's a problem of greed in our society today, which is characteristic of every age where men live in sin. Lovers of money and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10 and talked about the love of money being the root of all evil. And many have pursued money to the point because they love money rather than loving people, and they use people to get all they can get. Jesus taught, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So think about what people treasure today. This is where their hearts are focused, on the things that they treasure. Do we treasure the Word of God? Do we treasure our home in heaven? Do we treasure our relationship with the Lord? If we do, then we'll seek to obey Him and follow Him and tell others about how good our God is and how He can save them also. Occupy until I come. Stay busy in the work. Don't sit idle, but watch and be ready. Secondly, we must see what others do not see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible reminds us about if our gospel's hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So many are blind to truth. They're blind to the things of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're there. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give none offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness of knowledge, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So this is some of the way that that journey leads us and how we serve in this present world in which we live. Paul reveals the hardships of the servant of God in getting the gospel out to the unsaved world. The unsaved often reject. Many of you rejected being saved numerous times before God got hold of your heart and you humbled yourself before the Lord and received Christ as your Savior. And the Lord is good to give us more than one opportunity to be saved. Angels had to make a decision. They followed Satan or they followed the Lord. But God has given many of us many chances to hear the gospel and to be saved. And thank God for his long suffering for us. It requires that we reach out to the lost in this world so that they might be saved. We have a ministry that he's given unto us. Pureness is required in the ministry. It requires knowledge. That means study. The more we learn about the Word of God, the more we have understanding, and the less likely that we would be deceived or led astray. Long-suffering and patience and kindness and being filled with the Spirit of God, to have sincere love and by the word of truth, speaking the Word of God to people. It's the Bible that men need to hear. I've got a lot of opinions. All this political upheaval that's going on, I got opinions about every bit of it, and I believe everybody deserves the right to hear my opinion about everything. But the truth of the matter is, they don't need my opinion, they need the Word of God. God doesn't make any mistakes. I make mistakes. But if we give them God's Word, that is truth, and God will defend his word. By the power of God, by the putting on of the armor of righteousness, we labor in this world to be occupying until he comes. We face the accusations of unbelievers that we are treated as dishonored, and yet in the eyes of God, we are honored for our faithfulness and our sanctification. Of evil report and good report. Of the unsaved people, they make evil reports of us, but genuine believers make good reports of those who are serving the Lord and preaching the Word of God. as deceivers and yet true. We're not taking the Bible and deceiving people. We're giving them the truth of God's Word. But because they don't want to hear it, they accuse us of being deceivers. Dying, and yet we live. We may go through hardship. Many faced death in the early church. In the days of the Roman Empire and the lion's den and the arenas and all those kind of things, many Christians died. And many Christians are still suffering persecution in other countries to great severity, including death. The Muslims have killed thousands upon thousands of Christians in the last several years in other countries. But we have been safe and protected and secure in the stronghold of America. I'd like to see America keep the stronghold and protect the Bible and God's Word that it might go forth and accomplish the work that God would have it to do. Chasten and yet not kill, sorrowful yet rejoicing, poor yet making others rich in God. When you help somebody come to know the Savior, they become rich in their knowledge of salvation and a home in heaven and an access to God for His provision and His blessings. We have nothing, but we have the reward of the Lord, and that's worth everything. Look at 1 Timothy with me in chapter 2. 1 Timothy in chapter 2. We've looked at this so many times because it deals with so many emphasis. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Prayers and thanks. God would have all men to be saved. We're to be a witness. We're to be praying. We're to be praying for our leaders in this nation to be saved and pray that God would keep them from doing things that would hinder the Word of God and hinder the work of God in seeing people saved. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul told Timothy there are certain things that are required of him as a servant of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The athletic events where men would be crowned for winning the competitions, they had to work lawfully. They had to be self-disciplined. They had to exercise in order to win the crown. And as good soldiers, we endure hardness for the Lord. Soldiers endure hardness. Fort Jackson, South Carolina, right now, on these 90-something degree days, they're down there exercising and running and doing all kind of calisthenics and learning rifle movements and all the things that they do, and marching here and marching there. You march when you go to chow, and you run here and you run there. And it takes something to get through the routine of boot camp. I was not very wise when I joined the Marine Corps. It was all emotional on my part. I wanted to be a Marine. And I joined right out of high school, so I was dumb enough to go to Parris Island, South Carolina in June, July, and August. And they had what's called Black Flag Days. That meant it was over 100 degrees. And what they would do when it was 100 degrees is they'd either take you in a building that had air conditioning and you'd exercise in the building, or they'd take you around behind the building where nobody could see you, and you'd exercise there. I've exercised in a building that had air conditioning until we sweat so much the floors were completely wet. And then the drill instructor made us get down on our bellies and crawl around the room. And our shirts were just, you know, nothing but mud by the time we got around a few times. He said we were cleaning the floors, you know. And discipline, hardship, rigorousness, because you're going to face something much worse than that when you actually get into a war zone. And you have to keep going, and you have to learn how to be tough and strong. And the Lord wants us to be endure hardness as good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Look down at verse number 24. No, go to verse 11 first. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study the word, be faithful in it. Recognize that we will, if we suffer for Christ in this life, we'll reign with him as a result of it. Now, verse 24 through 26 is where I want to go. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. To help men and women and youth free themselves from the clutches of the devil, to repentance of their sins, and to see the truth of God's word, that they've been taken captive. Their minds can be taken captive by deceivers. And Satan is behind all false religion. God wants us to deliver them from the snare of the devil. My son put out some traps around the lake that's behind his house, and he owns a little portion of that lake and has access to it. And they got a big beaver, built a dam in there, great big old house of sticks, you know, on the side. And they'll cause problems in the lake and cause the water to back up where you don't want it, and they'll get out and gnaw all the trees, and those trees will die within a year. And they'll gnaw big ones that they no possible way they're going to cut down, but they'll gnaw them and eat the bark off of them and gnaw the tree, and then those trees will die. And they'll cut pretty good ones sometimes. I've seen them cut an oak tree that big in just a matter of a day or two, and that thing will fall, and then they'll eat the limbs off of it and drag those limbs down the creek and make a dam with it and cause a lot of trouble. So he set some traps. He put out 12 traps, and he finally did catch a beaver, I think, and he caught a small beaver, and he caught a river otter in the trap. And then one day he went down to check traps, and there was the leg of a river otter in the trap. Now, I don't know if the otter had gnawed his own leg off or some other animal like a coyote come along and got him or something of that nature. But you see, Satan takes people in traps and they can't get out of them. They need help to be able to deliver themselves from the snare of the devil. Back in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible reminds us we were dead in trespasses and sins before the Lord quickened us and made us alive. And at that time, we were following Satan, who's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the lives of the people. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. We were once where the unsaved people are now. And God saved us and delivered us and set us free and remove the consequences of our actions by washing us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were delivered by the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you're turning in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2. James, Peter, John. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Think about what God has done for you. He saved you. He gave you his mercy and his grace. He delivered you from the clutches of the devil. He brought you out of darkness and brought you into the light. He turned the light on in your mind that you can see and read and understand the Word of God when before you could not. Out of darkness into the kingdom of light. We were not God's people in the past, but now we are God's people. And we are a part of the priesthood of believers. So let us continue on the journey and bring along other folk to go with us, to go where we're going, to be with the Lord, to please God, to occupy until he comes. If we believe and obey and honor God, he'll provide protection and preservation and present us, Colossians says, one day blameless before the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And drop down to verse 20. "Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Continuing faithfully in the word, we have that promise that we'll be presented blameless at the throne of God. God has blessed us and done a work for us that we might be saved. And now he says to the believers and disciples, "Occupy until I come." Let's occupy until Jesus comes. Let's be found faithful, even if we suffer persecution or difficulty in the Christian walk. Let us endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people tonight. Now, thank you for a few moments in the Word and the reminding of your grace and mercy and how that we've been saved by your grace. We pray that you'll bless your people and help them. We pray for those that have physical needs or hardship at this season of the year that we're going through. And Lord, you're still on the throne, and you're able to help your people and protect them and provide for them. So we call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for your help. Bless these folks for being faithful to come here tonight. Thank you for the good song that we heard earlier and for those that practiced. And Lord, these ladies that play the instruments, we're so thankful for them. We ask you to bless our little orchestra as they get started back up, both the men and the women. In the summertime, we have the college students home, and some of them can play, and we just enjoy it so much. We're thankful for it. We pray it's pleasing to you. Lord, you said about the works that men do and the sacrifices that are made, they can be a sweet-smelling savor unto you. So may our works be a sweet smelling savor, Lord, and bless your people for what they do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.